This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
I want you to take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 65. Isaiah, chapter 65, and verse number 17. This morning, I know it's Palm Sunday, and I know that we should be rejoicing, and we are. Next week on Easter Sunday, we'll be right back here in this same place. It's important that God's people live in reality. And this is the reality of our situation. This is the reality of where we are today. I wish it wasn't so. I wish it was different. But it is not the job of God's people to change reality. That's God's job. It is the job of the people of God to rejoice evermore and to be thankful. And what our scripture is going to say this morning in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse number 17. Isaiah writes and he says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy." I brought to you a message last week from the book of Isaiah, and this week I go back to this familiar scripture. I'm going back to a familiar well from which I hope to draw a bucket of everlasting life to the people of God that are hungry and are thirsty. And Brother Isaiah is finishing up his writing. He's getting ready to pin down the last words of his prophecy. In just a few hours, Brother Isaiah is going to march into the face of King Manasseh, the most wicked king that Israel ever saw. And he's going to point his old bony finger in the face of Manasseh. And he's going to tell Manasseh how that he has turned the hearts of the people of God away from the things and holiness of the Lord Almighty. Manasseh's going to get so mad at Isaiah that he's going to take Isaiah and he's going to saw him in half with a metal saw. But before Isaiah goes, before Isaiah writes down the last phrases of his scripture, before Isaiah writes down and exits this life, Isaiah is going to say something to the people of God. He says in verse number 18, he says, "Be ye glad." Brother Isaiah uses that word in the Hebrew. It literally has the idea of a spring. When I was a boy, we had a trampoline. My kids had a trampoline before I moved houses, and I made sure that was one thing that was in the contract to stay at my old house. But on that trampoline, it was surrounded on the outside with springs. Those springs, what their job was to do was to bend with their environment, but to draw because of their action, draw what was on the outside, that environment, to where it was again. It would bend, but it would not stay in the shape that the environment was pulling on it. It was constantly pulling back in a direction. And that is the Hebrew word for glad. That's what Brother Isaiah says to his people. He says, no matter what pulls on you, no matter what sways you, no matter what turns you, no matter what makes you get out of shape, make sure that you are resilient and you go back and be joyful and be jubilant. You see, the shape inside of the people of God, it is a shape of joy. It is a feeling of happiness, even though there is no reason to be happy. Now, you and I have got to understand there's a lot of things right now that are pulling on us to go in this shape and to go in that shape. There's discouragement that's abounding. There's pain that's abounding. There's fear that's abounding. But into that scene, Brother Isaiah has a word from over 2,500 years ago, into which he says, "Be ye glad." I remind the people of God today that we are to be a people that are joyful. I was on a prayer walk probably 2 weeks ago when God gave me this scripture. I was walking down the road having myself a little pity party. I was enjoying being in the mully grubs with me, myself, and I. I was happy being unhappy. I was thinking about how it wasn't going to be the same. I got upset that we weren't going to be together for Easter Sunday, the Super Bowl of the church. But yet we were going to have to do it on live stream. And I was so upset. And I was so discouraged. I was so down. I was on my prayer walk and I was coming up the sidewalk making my way back. I pulled off to the side, went into one of the little parking lots near me, and I was walking the parking lot, and a song came on from the late 1980s, and the singers took this scripture, and what they said was this: "Be ye glad." He said, when the conscience of a nation is rocking and reeling with pain and fear and anxiety, let the people of God be glad. When the people are worried and confused and afraid all around us, let the people of God, like a spring out of another world, stand up and remind them that there is joy everlasting inside of our souls. I know mamas are wanting to kill their youngins at the house. I know husbands and wives are bickering and fighting, and there's not a house big enough for people to stay together for a month on end. And I know that there is anxiety. I know there is fear. I know there's turmoil. I know there's joblessness. I know all of that. But you see, this well inside of me that the Lord Jesus put there, it is a well that was not dug with circumstance. It was a well that was not put there because of good things that happened to me. It is something that occurred to me 2,000 years ago on the side of bloody Calvary. And there was a well dug there with the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a well that was put there with the riven side of the Lamb of God. And that well of everlasting life is pumping inside of my soul. And it yells to me from the far reaches of eternity. And it says, no matter what happens in time and no matter what happens in space, brother Tyler, be ye glad. I look at you and I say, brother, my sister, in the midst of all of the pain and in the midst of all of the confusion, be ye glad. If you're in a nursing home right now, you be that spring of joy in that nursing home. If you're a father in your house, don't let the anxiety of all this overwhelm. You be that spring of gladness in your house. If you're a single mother and you've got little children that are worried about why everybody's wearing face masks and why everybody can't go to school and why is everybody home from work, don't let them get caught up in the fear and panic, but you be that spring of joy and be glad in the midst of all of this. Isaiah's people looked at Isaiah and they said, Isaiah, how in the world can you say something like that? How in the world, in the midst of all of these dire circumstances and in the midst of all of these confusing times and dismal situations and all of the depravity around, how can you tell us to be glad? He gives two reasons. Now, I'm preaching shorter than I've ever preached in all of my life. And I say this, woe be unto the crowd that is with me when this thing is lifted. We're going to get here at 10 and leave at the 2:45 on Tuesday afternoon. So you may want to pack a lunch and bring you an extra razor blade to shave your face, brothers, because we're going to be here a long time. But I only have 2 points this morning. Notice what he says. You say, preacher, how can we be glad and be that spring of joy in the midst of all of this? Number one, you can be glad because God is not finished. God is not finished. Look back at verse number 17, if you will. Watch what it says. God said, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered. Isaiah was living in an earth that had been corrupted by the sins of man. Isaiah was living in a land that had been depraved by the dark heart of humanity. But yet God looked down and he said, Isaiah, do not be discouraged because of this earth. He said, I'm not done working, because there's coming a land that I'm making anew. And there's coming an earth that I'm making anew. There's coming a heaven that I'm making anew. He said, don't be discouraged. The song is not over. Don't be discouraged because the chorus has not been sung. And I say this to the people of God, do not be discouraged. God is not through. I know it looks like there is no end in sight and the end doesn't look good. But I can promise you this, our God is just beginning to work. Our God hasn't put his pen down, honey. He ain't even begun to pick his pen up. Our God hadn't put the hammer down. He is not finished. I say, number one, he is not finished in the life of the salvation of a sinner. You have got friends and family, and right now they are scared out of their mind. And maybe some of you have got people, and they're so cold in their heart, and it feels like they're never going to trust in Christ. They're never going to get back to the house of God. They're never going to listen to the gospel of Christ again. I remind you this morning that God is not finished. You pray to God and ask the Lord in prayer and fasting to save that soul, and God will save that soul. How do I know that? Because God is not finished. Therefore, I can be joyful. Therefore, I can be glad. Our God still saves sinners. Our God still redeems the broken. Our God still casts his net out in the sea of sin and draws in the flock of God. Our God will save souls. Number two, our God is not finished in the sanctification of the saint. Now here is what I'm telling you. I know it looks like in my life we had momentum. We had things going on. I had things going on. This was going to be my busiest year in the ministry. And it's actually panning out to be one of my slowest years in the ministry. But here is what I'm reminded of. God said, I create. I'm not done. I know it may look like this is all there is to it, but God is still working in my heart. God is still working in my life to bring about the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is not done. I know it looks like your life is over. I know it looks like your life is through. I know it looks like it's all done. I know it looks like it's all falling apart. But I remind you this morning that you can be joyful and you can be glad. Our God is not finished in your life. Our God is not finished in your family. Our God is not finished in your home. Our God is not finished making you into the image of Christ. What we're going through right now is just a little piece of a great big puzzle. It's just a little snippet of a great big tapestry. Therefore I say, child of God, be joyful and be glad. Our God is still in control, and our God can do absolutely whatsoever he desires. Therefore, be ye glad. But there's a third little aspect of this. God's not finished. He is not finished in fashioning the world for the return of his Son. I am reminded today, every time I hate turning on the news, I'm sick and tired of turning it on. And the only reason I really turn it on right now is just to see what the crazy people are going to say. And I looked at it this morning, and everybody's talking about, when's it going to end? How's the world going to take it? Is the economy going to collapse? Is the state going to collapse? And I thought, people, do you not realize they're not in control? I was watching one of the anchors this morning ask the governor of Michigan. He said, when and how much longer until your state economy collapses? And I sat there, I was tying my tie. I said, this ought to be interesting. Sure enough, she said, I don't know. And he pressed her a little bit more, and I grabbed the TV off the wall. I said, she has no idea, because her economy is not in her hands. Her economy is not in the treasurer's hands. Our nation's economy is not in our treasurer's hands, and it's not in the president's hands. You know what? Our treasure, our economy is in the hand of God. And our nation is in the hand of God. And our president is in the hand of God. And the nations of the world are in the hand of God. And do you know what God is doing right now? He's getting everything ready to set it up so the Antichrist can come on the scene. And I know that scares a lot of people. I know that worries a lot of people. Do not let it bother you for two reasons. Number one, when the Antichrist gets here, the people of God will be out of here. The people of God will never know who he is. The people of God will never see his face. And the people of God will never know he's even existed. Because when he stands up and signs a 7-year peace treaty with Israel, honey, I'll be lapping up at the table of God. I'll pull my legs up under the honeysuckles of glory, and I'll be eaten at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The second reason I am not worried about the fact that the Antichrist is setting up is because the moment he arrives, that's a 7-year countdown, and the clock in heaven begins to tick, and the hands of God began to tick. As soon as he shows up, what is it ticking down to? It's ticking down to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he descends out of heaven and he comes down, splits the eastern sky on the back of a glorious white stallion as he comes down into the valley of Megiddo, and he beats the Antichrist, and he slays the kings of the east, and he destroys the kings of the south, and all of a sudden the kings of the west come and bow down at his feet. But it'll be too late. And with the fire of his mouth and the fire of his eyes, as he goes back to Jerusalem and sets up his kingdom, here's what I'm telling you: in all the economies and in all the world, you can be joyful and you can be glad, because our God, he is not finished. He's still in control of everything. Now here's the second point, and I'm done. Now this is the best one. Preacher, how can we be glad? Notice what it says in verse number 17. It says this: the former shall not be remembered. The former shall not be remembered. Preacher, how can you be glad? Because one day I won't remember any of this. My former sins will be remembered no more. One day I'll look back and I'll say, why did I stay so grieved? And my mind will finally be like the mind of God. You say, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. When the devil goes to the Father right now and he brings up your past and my past, the Father says, I have no idea what you're talking about. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. One day, someone will say, what did you do wrong? And I'll say, I don't remember, because the former things will be remembered no more. Former pains will be remembered no more. Some of you right now, you've called me, I've talked to you, I've texted you. You are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Friends and family are being, I've got preacher friends I never dreamed have been affected by this disease. I've got a man right now in the church. I talked to him yesterday. His wife is slowly dying at a nursing home. And I called him to check on him yesterday, and I said, how's your wife? He said, well, she really doesn't remember me. He said, at least I don't think she does. He said, but all I can do is go outside of her window and look in from the outside. Wife of over 60 years, and all he can do is watch her from the parking lot. But one day, all of that is gonna be gone. The former pains are gonna be washed away. Therefore, today, I can be glad. But then the former sacrifices will all be forgotten. Mothers and fathers, preachers, church members, that sacrifice for the kingdom of God, sacrifice for their family, mothers that give up monstrous careers in order to raise their children, fathers that don't go into Fortune 500 in order to be around their family, and preachers that give up this and that. And people in this life, they say, you've wasted. One day, the former sacrifices will all be forgotten, and we'll be glad we invested in the kingdom of God. We'll be glad we deposited in the bank of heaven. For Jesus said in the book of Matthew, He said, you shall sacrifice and it will reap 100-fold. To the mothers, the fathers, the preachers, the Christians, the believers that have sacrificed of time and talent and treasure, the sacrifices will be remembered no more, and the blessings of God will flow in heaven. Therefore, be ye glad. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Be ye glad that all of this will be done away with.